There's something magical about any book, but some pack a really potent aura of mystery. A few weeks ago, a big box came to our office, and inside was a book, a huge book, like 14 by 20 inches and heavy, weighed about 10 pounds. When we opened it, we found pages filled with bizarre illustrations and calligraphy that seemed to be in some kind of made-up language. Well, everyone here got really excited about this book. We all wanted to touch it, borrow it, talk about it. It kind of felt like magic. So this book is called The Codex Serafinianus. And to crack the code and get to the bottom of it, Charles Monroe Kane called the guy who published it, Charles Mears from Rizzoli Press.
Can you, and this probably be the hardest thing you'll do all day, can you describe this book?
That is the hardest thing I'll do all day. You know, it's a fantasy with illustrations and calligraphy following the structure of an atlas or a travel book from the 17th or 18th century, I would say. Some reference to illuminated manuscripts. And it's difficult to interpret, but wonderful to experience. And it bounces, I guess, between sort of references to a distant past and explorations of a distant future. How's that for a mouthful?
That was a big mouthful. I think there's a couple words that I don't think need to go in there. One, it is surreal. And if you wanted to define surreal, boom, this is it. Can you pick a page for me that you really like? Because once you describe a page, you'll be like, oh, it is quite bizarre.
Well, I think one of the signature pages, but there are so many, but one of the signature pages is of a series of illustrations of a couple making love, and they gradually morph into the shape of a single alligator. And then as the drawings go on, or as the alligator slowly, one imagines, gets off the bed and disappears, leaving just this blank bed. And that's the kind of wonderful metamorphosis that you experience in every page.
My favorite page, and of course I can't give the page number because we also failed to mention that the language in this and the calligraphy written is made up. Or presumably made up. It could be by an angel or an alien. We can talk about that later. But it's made up, and it's kind of three people, human-looking people, mushroom-head people with spurs on their boots, and there's a bunch of skeletons waiting in line. And on one end, there's some dead bodies. The skin's being taken off. The skeletons are waiting in line to get the skin put back on them. And then there's a bunch of writing around it in this made-up language. And then, of course, the skeletons are lying on a bed of books. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start with that. It's actually fantastic.
It is indeed. I mean, there are all kinds of wonderful things that one brings from one's own visual encyclopedia. You know, is it gory, Edward Gorey? Is it steampunk?
Right.
To go back to the word surreal you used, when Serafini was first working in Rome in the 60s and 70s, this was a time when Fellini was still very active. And they were friends. De Chirico was still alive. You know, the great surrealist, Italian surrealist artists and filmmakers and so forth were all still about. And I think he was very influenced by the mood in Rome at the time.
You know, for me, I lived in Prague for many years and had a couple of friends who were really into alchemy. And there's an alchemy museum in Prague, quite a real one, quite serious. And they had an alchemy book exhibit once that we went to, and the original of the Codex was there, and it blew my mind. And these guys were convinced, my friend at the time, I didn't know any better, that this was connected to the Aleppo Codex, the Codex for the New Testament, and that this was one that was written in a secret language that actually maintained the real truth of God, and something they wanted to get their hands on, and they wanted to break in and actually read it. It was really interesting stuff. Which gets into my next question. People put a lot of meaning. I went on the internet searching around for this book. Oh my God, there's some really weird websites and blog settings for this book. Why do you think people put so much meaning into it? What are some of the things people are talking about with it?
What are people talking about now? There's a lot of blogging about this. People are still trying to decode it. There's been a rich literature on the pagination.
What is it, Code 21 or something?
Code 21, right. Yes. I've not been able to unlock that or even
<Me neither.
laughs> really try to. But the folios, apparently, if you understand codes, work in formulas of the number 21. I think people are, first of all, thrilled to see it back and available. And that sparked a whole new dialogue about it. And many, many people that I've seen are talking about how they've been trying to figure it out for 20 years. unsuccessfully, I might add.
Well, you know, it goes back to The Alchemist, right? Maybe, you know, salvation is in the journey, right? So maybe they spent 20 years trying to figure out that is the point.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point. And I think the process of that is very much Serafini's point.
Now, this has been translated. There was a linguist in Bulgaria who I think was a contemporary when I lived in that part of the world who translated this, right? Or thinks he translated it.
I think he translated it, I think, would be the right thing. I mean, the calligraphy is, there are different words that have been used. It's a semic, or it's a conlang. It's I always think of it as automatic writing,
right,
which is something the surrealists used. But it's played very effectively now, too, because I think there's a resonance with a lot of graffiti and street art where people do make up their own languages and their own signs, and I think that's something very contemporary.
We should keep in mind that this wasn't written in the 1300s. This was written in the 70s. You know the author. He's done other books. He does children's books. What does he say of all this about his codex?
He's appropriately sort of built a mystique around
it. Yeah, good
it.
Man, good man.
he has said a few things. His comments on the writing basically center on the fact that he thinks it's a liberating experience, that you can't understand the writing itself, and he's denied that it has any real meaning. I think that what he really means by that is that when you do look at an old book or you do look at the codex, you often don't understand what is being said. It's in another language or it's in Latin. It's in a typescript that's very hard to read. And what it encourages you to do is to roam, to use your eyes, to really try to experience the visual sensations of the work.
Now, of course, with your beautiful edition that's out, Serafini was asked, it must have been by you probably, to make a statement on this book. It's pretty short. It's about 2 pages. And in the end, he says that he didn't write it, and he felt like maybe he shouldn't even deserve the copyright privileges because his cat wrote it. What do you think of the cat? Tell me more about what he meant there.
I think it's wonderful. He thinks after thinking about why the book became that it was the result of the cat's dreams, and he ciphered them onto the page. What I love about that is the cat was apparently perched on his shoulders or fell asleep on his shoulders while he was working. And if the tail wagged to the left, then it would result in a folktale that he would draw, and to the right, a song. And I just thought that was so poetic and wonderful. And who couldn't fall in love with him, with the book, and indeed with the cat?
That's Charles Mears, the publisher of Rizzoli Press, talking about Luigi Serafini's Codex Serafinianus. He talked with Charles Monroe Kane.